Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Such a small verse, but a lot of truth in it. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I want to talk to you today about faint not, but fight through adversity. Fight through adversity. Let's pray. Father, Lord, please be with us now. We need you, Lord. We need your help. Lord, we need to be fed with the word of God today. We need it for our hearts, Lord. We pray that you would use this in our lives, Lord, and strengthen us by it, Lord. There's some people going through some adversity today. They're battling, they're fighting things, Lord, in this life, and it's troublesome to their flesh and weariness to their mind. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that you please would use this to strengthen your people today and feed them with the living bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. That means, what does that mean to faint? It means to sink into dejection, to lose courage or spirit, to deject or depress, to weaken, to become feeble, to decline or fall in strength and vigor, to fail in strength or vigor, to be weak. You know, there's a time in everybody's life where they come to a place where they come to that day of adversity. There may be a long stretch for you. It has been for me. There's times when it is longer, but God takes his children through adversity. He brings them through adversity. You have to understand that it is appointed unto you to have adversity. That is the same as tribulation. That is the same as trials. It is appointed unto you that you will have those days of adversity or those times of adversity. You've got to understand that it's not always going to be sunshine and rainbows. Although you'd like it to be that way, it's not going to be, because it's not good for you to be that way always. No. But I want to encourage you this morning to faint not, but to fight. You've got to wake up every morning with that desire to fight through life, to fight through your tribulations, to fight through your challenges, to fight through everything that you are facing. You must have a desire to fight. And when you don't have it, pray for it. Pray for the desire to fight through adversity. Consider first this, that we should fight and not faint. I want to talk to you about that fighting a little bit. Before we talk about the day of adversity and fainting in it, I want to exhort you, first of all, not to faint, but to fight. You have to be a fighter in this life. Christians are called to fight. We are not called to sleep. This is not the place for us to rest. It will never be a place of rest. It is not. It is a place of war. When you feel there is nothing in you, you have to fight. You have to fight the battles of the Lord. You will wonder why you feel like fainting sometimes, but consider some of the reasons from God's Word. I want to read you some things that Spurgeon, I read a sermon that Spurgeon preached on this, and I thought it was excellent on this portion of it. It's not my entire sermon, but this portion of it, and I think it's valuable for you to understand. We should expect adversity, but we don't. We don't expect it. We don't expect adversity. We expect the easy road. We always do. That's what we expect. Honestly, you'd never admit that. You and I would never admit that to anyone, but we do expect it, the sun to always shine, for it always to be 50 degrees, and not one when you wake up, right? We always expect our health to be good, plenty of money in the bank, good opportunities in our lives for whatever we want. All of those things. We expect that, but we shouldn't. We should expect adversity. We should expect adversity, challenges, trials, tribulations. If you and I were soldiers in an American army and thought it would be a cakewalk and war wouldn't weigh on us and everyone would love us, we would be fools. Why is it that you've enlisted in the Lord's army and you believe that it will be easy? You believe that you will not have adversity. You believe that You will not have those trials and those challenges. No, we won't enter into the kingdom of heaven without tribulation. No. Spurgeon goes on to say this, Christian, expect trouble. Count it not strange concerning the fiery trial, and as though some strange thing happened unto you. For as truly as you are a child of God, your Savior has left you his legacy. In the world, you shall have tribulation. In me, you shall have peace. If I had no trouble, I would not believe myself one of the family. If I never had a trial, I would not think myself an heir of heaven. Children of God must not, shall not escape the rod. Earthly parents may spoil their children, but the heavenly Father never shall his. Whom he loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he has receiveth. His people must suffer, therefore, expect it, Christian. If you are a child of God, believe it, look for it, and when it comes, say, well, suffering, I foresaw you. You are no stranger. I have looked for you continually. Think about this. Think, why should we have adversity? Spurgeon gives us some hints here. He says, look, number one, look upward. Do you see your heavenly Father, a pure and holy being, spotless, just, perfect? Do you know that you are one day to be like him? Think you that you will easily come to be conformed to his image? Will you not require much furnace work? Much grinding in the mill of trouble? Much breaking with the pestle and the mortar of affliction? Much being broken under the wheels of agony? Think you it will be an easy thing for your heart to become as pure as God is? Do you think you can so soon get rid of your corruptions and become perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect? Lift up your eye again. Do you discern those bright spirits clad in white, purer than alabaster, more chaste, more fair than Parian marble? Behold them as they stand in glory. Ask them whence their victory came. Some of them will tell you they swam through seas of blood. Behold the seers of honor on their brows. See, some of them lift up their hands and tell you they were once consumed in fire. While others were slain by the sword, rented pieces by wild beasts, were destitute, afflicted, and tormented. O you noble army of martyrs, you glorious hosts of the living God, must you swim through seas of blood, and shall I hope to ride to heaven wrapped in furs? Did you endure suffering, and shall I be hampered with the luxuries of this world? Did you fight and then reign, and must I reign without a battle? Oh no. Next, Christian, turn your eyes downward. Do you know what foes you have beneath your feet? There are hell and its lions against you. You were once a servant of Satan, and no king will willingly lose his subjects. Do you think that Satan is pleased with you? Why, you have changed your country. You were once a liege servant of Apollyon, but now you have become a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And do you think the devil is pleased with you? I tell you, nay, if you had seen Satan the moment you were converted, you would have beheld a wondrous scene. As soon as you gave your heart to Christ, Satan spread his bat-like wings down. He flew into hell, and summoning all his counselors, he said, sons of the pit, true heirs of darkness, you who once were clad in light, but who fell with me from high dignities, another of my servants hath forsaken me. I have lost another of my family. He has gone over to the side of the Lord of hosts. O you, my compeers, you fellow helpers of the powers of darkness, leave no stone unturned to destroy him. I bid you all hurl all your fiercest darts at him. Plague him. Let hell's dogs bark at him. Let fiends besiege him. Give him no rest. Harass him to the death. Let the fumes of our corrupt and burning lake ever rise at his nostrils. Persecute him. The man is a traitor. Give him no peace. Since I cannot have him here to bind him in chains of adamant, since I ne'er can have him here to torment and afflict him, as long as you can till his dying day, I bid you howl at him until he crosses the river. Afflict him, grieve him, torment him, for the wretch has turned against me and become a servant of the Lord. Such may have been the scene in hell that very day when you did love the Lord? And do you think Satan loves you better now? Oh, no. He will always be at you, for your enemy, like a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Expect trouble, therefore, Christian, when you look beneath. Then, man of God, look around you. Do not be asleep. Open your eyes and look around you. Where are you? Is that man a friend next to you? No, you are in an enemy's country. This is a wicked world. Half the people, I suppose, profess to be irreligious, and those who profess to be pious often are not. Cursed is he that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. Blessed is he that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. As for men of low degree, they are vanity. The voice of the crowd is not worth having. And as for men of high degree, they are a lie. Which is worse still, the world is not to be trusted, nor to be relied upon. The true Christian treads it beneath his feet, with all the earth calls good or great. Look around you, my brother. You will see some good hearts, strong and valiant. You will see some true souls, sincere and honest. You will see some faithful lovers of Christ. But I tell you, O child of light, that where you meet one sincere man, you will meet 20 hypocrites. Where you will find one that will lead you to heaven, you will find a score who will push you to hell. You are in a land of enemies, not of friends. Never believe the world is good for much. Many people have burned their fingers by taking hold of it. Many a man has been injured by putting his hand into a nest of the rattlesnake, the world, thinking that the dazzling hues of the sleeping serpent were securities from harm. And what is more, self is still within. If you had no devil to tempt you, you would tempt yourself. If there were no enemies to fight you, yourself would be your worst foe. If there were no world, still yourself would be bad enough. For the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Look within you, believer. Know that you bear a cancer in your very vitals, that you carry with you a bombshell, ready to burst at the slightest spark of temptation. Know that you have inside your heart an evil thing, a coiled up viper, ready to sting you and bring you into trouble and pain and misery unutterable. Take heed of your hearts, Christian, and when you find sorrow, trouble, and care, look within and say, verily, I may well receive this, considering the evil heart of unbelief which I carry about with me. That is why you have to fight and not faint. You've got to fight. You have many enemies around you. You can never be at rest. You and I, we suffer from sometimes being too passive in our minds. And when we are passive, the devil comes in and offers so many suggestions, doesn't he? And plants so much wickedness. We have to be vigilant. We have to keep our minds sharp. We have to focus and exercise our minds unto godliness. Because if we don't, the minute we let them sit, the minute we let them at peace, then he will come in and he will throw fiery darts at you. Always keep your mind assertive. Always keep your mind focused. Always keep your mind direct. Always take control of your mind through the Spirit of God. And exercise thyself with thy mind. You have to exercise your mind. Your biggest enemy is your mind. It's not Satan, it's you. Exercise your mind. Force it. Force it. Force it in obedience. Force it to lead. Lead your family. Don't be passive. Lead in your spiritual life. Lead in your walk. Lead in your Bible. Lead in your prayer. Lead in your thoughts. Fight. Don't faint. Now let's talk about the day of adversity. Life will hand us many such days, and we must anticipate they will come. We must strengthen ourselves daily. We must be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Strength comes from God. It must. If thou faint, what does that mean to faint? It means to give way to discouragement or despair. Give way to temptation or to sin. Listen, adversity, it tests us to show what we are made of. Any and all adversity. What does adversity mean? It's an event or a series of events which oppose success or desire. It's a misfortune or calamity, affliction, distress, a state of unhappiness. That's what adversity is. It comes and God allows us. God brings us through adversities to teach us. God brings you through adversities to teach you that he will get you through anything. But your dependence must be upon him. The day of adversity, you and I will faint in the day of adversity if we depend upon ourselves. If we depend upon our own strength. If we depend upon ourselves to get us through adversity, we will not be able to. It teaches us to rely upon God. Misfortune teaches us to rely upon God. Calamity teaches us to depend upon God. Calamity, afflictions, teaches us to depend upon God. Distress teaches us to depend upon God. A state of unhappiness will teach us to depend upon God. We cannot trust our feelings. When you do get in the habit of trusting your feelings, God will reveal that your feelings cannot be trusted. Even the joyous good ones that God gives because of his comfortable spirit, if you are too dependent upon those, then God will take that joy away from you. So you will learn to obey him and trust him without the joy of the Lord. Amen. It will happen. It's a lesson to teach you not to trust in feelings, whether they be comfortable or whether they be terrible. Do you know adversity is in the King James Bible 10 times? 10 times. That number 10 means testimony, law, responsibility. Like the tenth or a tithe is a testimony of God's goodness. It's a testimony, a representation. Jesus was taken on the 10th day. The 10 toes, the 10 kingdoms, the 10 virgins. Right? As you look at those numbers in the Bible, that means that's what that number stands for. So what does that mean? It means that God brings you through for a testimony, for a responsibility, for the law to bring you through to that adversity, that university of adversity. That's what God brings you through. It's to try you. It's to test you. And for you to be a testimony of God's deliverance and God's abiding faithfulness. Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. What does he say here? He says, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, sometimes God will feed you the bread of adversity. He will give you to drink the waters of affliction. And you have one or two choices. If you and I act like a spoiled brat, we will say we are not going to drink it. We are not going to eat the bread of affliction or the bread of adversity or the bread of those challenges of life or tribulations. Or we are not going to take the bread of adversity or the water of affliction. We do not want to consume it when God says to us, drink ye all of it. Psalm 94:12, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teaches him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. What happened here? God gave him affliction, right? God gave him adversity, then he gave him rest from his adversity. But God will take you through that adversity. There will be a day of rest. There will be a time of rest. But you must go through the days of adversity. You have to. You know, Esau, he fainted in the day of adversity. Genesis 25, verse number 29. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom, that great enemy of Israel. Edom. Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage." Now Esau became Jacob's friend after a while, didn't he? But he was his enemy at the time. And Israel was not allowed to conquer, right? They were to love their enemies and be good to them on those sides, especially his brother, right? But Esau said, "I pray thee." And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. He was faint. He fainted in the day of adversity, didn't he? How about that great enemy of Israel, Amalek? He came after them, and he sensed the weakness and the feebleness of Israel, and he went after them. Deuteronomy 25, 17. Satan will come after you when he senses your weakness, your feebleness, your faintness. Remember what Amalek, verse number 17, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. See, Satan is like Amalek was like Satan. He comes and he attacks when he knows that you're weak, when you're feeble, when you're hurting. He senses it. And he comes to add to your affliction. That's what he does. But you know, even at times that we are faint, we must still pursue and fight. Gideon showed us that in Judges chapter 8, verse number 4. If we are faint, we must still fight. Judges chapter 8, verse number 4. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. And he said, look at that, faint, yet pursuing them. And he said to the men of Succoth, "Give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian." Now, he didn't want to help him, and they didn't help him, and they were faint, but they came back, and the Bible says that Gideon taught them. He taught them with thorns and briars. He whooped them. It's the same way sometimes God teaches us. Thorns. Why? Because we're too stubborn to listen, that's why. Because we get stubborn, get proud, stubborn, won't listen. So he teaches us with chastening. Amen? And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over. Look at that. It says he was faint, yet pursuing. That is the Christian life. Sometimes you may be faint, yet you must still pursue after Christ. You must still follow after him hard. No matter how faint you are, you must continue to follow after Christ. The most profitable time you will ever have in your Christian life is a time of adversity. Amen. It's the times that you are challenged, for you are nearer to God than what you understand. In times of faintness, in times when you are going through those days of adversity, you rely upon God more than you ever have. You will have to get through them. The Bible says, if thou faint, meaning we don't have to. We don't have to faint. We are told we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. When we are under heavy trials, it is important to have double courage. Gird up our loins and be ready and not faint under the trials. Now, that does not mean that you are not going to suffer pain or have feelings of sorrow. But it's the excess of an allowable feeling that will get you in trouble. Look, there's nothing wrong with, you know, sorrow in your heart. There are times of sorrow. There are times of pain. All right? That does not mean that you are fainting. No, it means that you do not give yourself over to those allowable feelings in an excess, and they take you and control you. There are days that God gives us the adversity of sorrow and pain and grief, but we should not let them consume us. It is allowable to feel pain and sorrow, but we faint when we yield to impatience. When we become impatient, we faint. That's one way we faint, is to yield to impatience. It is, look, when you are waiting long for God to deliver you from something, you can become very impatient. And you will begin to faint when you do, because patience is worked in us through the trials of adversity, through the days of adversity. So then if you become impatient, you will begin to faint. The second way we faint is if we entertain hard thoughts about God, that God is not fair to put us through such things, that God has forgotten about us, that God has forgotten to be gracious, God has forgotten to be merciful in my situation. When we start to entertain hard thoughts and blame God, the Bible says that Job did not what? He did not sin with his lips. He did not charge God foolishly. But he started to get weary. He started to. In the beginning, he did not charge God foolishly. But he started to. Why? Because the trial suffered long. The days of adversity would not end. They continue. And sometimes when you're going through that adversity and those trials, they do not seem to end. You see no end in sight, no hope in sight that your circumstances will change, but you will continue on the same way through it, and it will never end. A vicious cycle that will never end. And you begin to entertain hard thoughts of God. But if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. The days of adversity come to show us the weaknesses that we have, the weaknesses of our faith, how much unbelief is really in our hearts. You put a man through days and days of adversity, and he will see the weakness of his faith. You will see the weakness of her faith. Through days, through suffering long, through much adversity, you will see the weakness. You will see the amount of unbelief that actually lies in the heart of a believer when they go through days of adversity, days of trials that seem to never end, and the circumstances that never end, and they continue on. And you entertain hard thoughts of God, that God is wrong to put you through such things. And you begin next, number three, you begin to distrust His goodness. You start to question God's goodness to you. Well, how could He be good to me if I'm going through so much? How could God be good to me if I'm going through so much pain, so much heartache, so much trial, so much tribulation that I wait for God to deliver me and to answer me and I cry out to Him and nothing changes. It stays the same. And you begin to distrust God's goodness. And your focus, it becomes circumstances. Your focus becomes the trials. You forget to focus on God and His goodness for you. And you forget to count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done. You forget about all the other blessings. Right? Do it. That's what happens to us. when the trials, when the days of adversity run long, you begin to distrust his goodness. You begin to distrust your sonship. Well, maybe I'm not God's then if I'm going through this. If I am so, why am I this way? If I am God's child, then why am I going through this? Because it is appointed. Days of adversity are appointed unto you. They are appointed unto you. But I don't want them. Well, neither do I. I don't either. I'll say it for you. You don't want them either. But your Father knows what's best for you. Right? So you distrust his goodness. You start to think, well, maybe I'm not God's then, if that's the case. How easily our faith can be shaken. How easily our faith can be shaken by trials, by days of adversity. But the metal is tested, friend, in the days of adversity, in the furnaces of affliction and fire. That is when the metal is tested. That is what shows what you're made of, what God has done in you. Not when the sun is shining and all is well. Right? Not when it's 60 degrees and sunny, but when it's 1 and freezing and slippery and very cold and dark. Right? When we are so absorbed by adversity as to forget past prosperity. Number 4. When we are so absorbed by adversity, we forget past prosperity. We forget all the blessings of God when we are absorbed with the adversity that we're going through. You ever been that way? Some of you look at me kind of crazy right now because you ain't never been through it yet, but you will. You hang on. God's going to send you through some things. I don't know what you're talking about, preacher. Well, good. I'm glad you don't yet, but you're gonna. Hang on. You're gonna, because those days of adversity are appointed to all of God's children. And they may not be the adversity that I'm going through. They'll be different. But each one of us will have those days of adversity. You could be the healthiest person alive and find out one day, man, I ain't as healthy as I thought I was. Right? God says not to be absorbed by that adversity because we start to forget our past prosperity. We forget everything that God does for us when we're going through trials. Don't we? We get tunnel vision. We get tunnel vision and we start examining everything that's bad and we can scarce find one thing that is good. Right? We cannot find one good thing. All we can think about is how bad everything is when we're going through those days of adversity. We do not count our many blessings. We count our many adversities. We forget about our blessings. Yeah, we do. We name the adversities one by one. Right? That's exactly what we do. But we forget about and we minimize God's goodness to us. It's because we are fainting in the day of adversity. You're fainting. Next, we faint in the day of adversity when we yield to sorrow so far as to stop doing necessary exertion and work that we must do. When the work of the Lord, when we stop doing for God, or we give up in whatever it is that our duties are in life. When we just lay down, roll over, and give up. We go hide ourselves somewhere and we give up and we stop fighting. Right? Because we're going through adversities and trials and tribulations and heartaches and pains. And you know what? We're done. We just don't want to do anything anymore. So we go get in the fetal position, curl up into bed, and stay away from everybody. Right? Maybe you don't do it in your body, but you do it in your mind. I do. Sure. I don't want to mess with that. I'm just leave it alone. Right? Moms, you can't do that though. Your body has to be moving. Right? But in your mind, you might be giving up though. Listen to me. Your body might be doing all the things you're supposed to do, but your mind and your heart is not in it. You've given up. You're stopping the fight. You're fainting in the day of adversity. You can't faint. You got to fight. You got to fight. When we stop doing the necessary work that we need to do, we're fainting in the day of adversity. When our trials begin to mount over us. Number six, when it causes us to yield to unholy methods in order to free ourselves from the difficulty. If we turn to some unholy methods, some methods, some worldly methods to relieve ourselves of the distress that we're in. Might be alcohol or pornography or whatever lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or pride of life, whatever the world offers as an alternative to escaping. It may be entertainment. I know so many Christians that are so consumed with entertaining and making themselves laugh all the time. Because they don't want to be serious in the things of God. They don't want to grow up, mature up, and serve God and live faithful to God. They don't want to be sober. They don't want to be serious. And a lack of sobriety leads to sin. Very quickly. It causes us to yield to unholy methods to free ourselves from the days of adversity. I've met people that are going through trials like I've seen people going through trials like that. They're waiting on a wife, right? Or waiting on a husband. I remember when I first got saved, actually it was before I got saved, there was a young lady in the church, and she had gotten saved, and she had in the church I got saved in, and she had gotten saved, and she wanted a husband, you know. She had a child out of wedlock, but then got saved. And, you know, she wanted to live for God, wanted to serve God, but she's waiting on a husband. And man, she got impatient. And she ran out and married a guy. And he ruined her life. Ruined her spiritual walk. Why? Because she looked for an unholy method to escape those days of adversity. Because these are days of adversity. These are days of trials that you're going through. Understand that when you're waiting on God to bring you a husband or a wife, these are days of adversity. These are the challenges that God has for your life. Now see them as a war and fight! Fight them! Play the man! Be a man! Stand up and fight. You must fight. Whatever it is, whatever the battle is, it's got to be a fight, and you've got to see it. You against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And you've got to fight. You have to. You have to see it as a war. You have to see it as something to fight. You cannot be passive. You cannot be complacent. You will be consumed. You must be vigilant. You must be diligent. You must be sober. You must be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That is not passivity. It is aggressiveness. The violent take it by force. And you need to look at this spiritual life, no matter what you're facing right now, and understand that I have to take it by force. I have to fight it. I have to war against it. You know, the Jews, they appealed to Egypt. They went, they said, you know, it's too hard. These days of adversity are too hard. We'll go back and go be slaves. We'll go back and be slaves. We'd rather be slaves than fight these days of adversity. I know some people like that. I'm going to tell you what, they're a bunch of babies who got no guts. That's what they are. They're either not saved or they're backslidden. One of the two. Because they don't got no guts to fight. They don't want to keep fighting. They don't want to put their head and their nose the grindstone and keep moving for the Lord. No, they're looking for a cakewalk. They want heaven and hell too. They want to live like hell here and hold on to heaven. Can't do that. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen at all. Doesn't work that way. John Trapp said this, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, afflictions try what sap we have, as hard weather tries what health. Withered leaves fall off in a wind. Rotten boughs break when weight is laid on them. So do earthen vessels when set empty to the fire. As is the man, so is his strength," said they to Gideon. Joseph's bow abode in strength, though the archers sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. If thou faint, let us not faint, but let us be strong and trust in God. He will not suffer sin, temptation, Satan, depression, despair, discouragement to take us over. But he will keep us. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. He will not let your fears consume you. But God will make you face your fears. Face them all down by his grace and show us that he is able to make us stand and remove those creeping vines that seek to destroy us. Who can harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Faint not, friend. God will hold thee up. He is ever kind and righteous and good to his children. He will not allow anything to take you. Do you have despair? It cannot consume you. You suffer depression, God is able to speak light into darkness. The fear of man, fear them not, but fear God who is able to cast body and soul into hell. Faint not under his chastening. When God puts his rod on you, you know, we are apt in times of severe chastening to faint. But when I am weary under chastening, God tells me to consider Christ. Hebrews 12:3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Listen. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, you can have a man as strong as an ox, but if his mind is faint, he will become weak as water. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, consider him, though. Paul said this, consider Jesus that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. How do I then not become weary and faint in my mind? I consider Christ. I consider Christ. And what contradiction of sinners he went through. What he endured. What does the Bible tell us very clearly? Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, some of you ladies probably think that verse is meant for men, but it's not. It's meant for all of you. Do you understand that? It's not just meant for your husband. You think of your husband, well, a man, a soldier, like, yeah, so are you. Each in your own place. Do you understand that? You are just as much a soldier as a mother as your husband is as a father. Just as much. And just as important for you to soldier on. It's important for you to endure hardness. Endure it. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When the days of adversity grow long, endure hardness. What causes you to faint under that contradiction? Is it men that contradict your lifestyle and your gospel witness? They only contradict it because it contradicts theirs. What do you expect? Darkness does not like light. They can only do the things which they speak, which they hear, and which they see. And they must speak them as well. Faint not, but consider Christ. Isaiah 40, verse number 29. Look what the Bible says. Isaiah 40, 29. Turn there, please. Everybody there, Isaiah 40, 29. I want you to read this with me. We're going to read it together. This first part here especially. And I'll stop you right there at the last word, faint there. Are you ready? He giveth power to the faint. One more time. He giveth power to the faint. Now the next part. To the period there. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Verse 30, to the comma here. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. All right, next. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This is God's promise to you. If you are faint, then strength is on its way for you. Strength must come from the Lord. It comes from considering Christ, not considering yourself. Not looking at your own strength. Right? Jeremiah 8:18. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, went through so much. He knew the destruction, the demise of Israel was coming. There was nothing going to change it. You know, fainting under despair dims the eyes so we cannot see the spiritual good and blessings and get comfort from the Word of God. Turn to Lamentations chapter 5, verse number 17. When our heart becomes faint, we can't see the goodness of God. We can't see the things of God. Look at Lamentations 5, 17. For this our heart is faint, for these things our eyes are dim. You can get yourself so faint and weary in your minds that you can't even see the goodness of God anymore. That's when somebody has come along and put their arm around you and say, listen, let's talk. Amen. Amen. When you see somebody growing weary like that, you don't let them stay that way. Right? You don't let them stay that way. You lift them up by putting an arm around them and say, listen, let's talk. Right? You need to know what God's doing. You need to see the goodness of God. Remember the goodness of God. Remember what God has done in your life. Don't forget it. When we are at the point of fainting, we must consider Christ. We must also remember this, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. One day God will rebuke you. He will chasten you hard. The true test of our love and trust in him is realizing as a son that our Father is capable of swiftly punishing us and correcting us. But you and I become as a child when we are surprised when the boom gets lowered on us. We don't know how to respond to it sometimes for our sin. or for our correction, to prevent us from sinning. We are shocked and we can tend to faint under that severe chastening. But we must hold up underneath it, for it is for our good. If you see all these things as from your Father in heaven, much fear will end. If my fainting is in the form of depression or desertion, I must still consider Christ. I must consider what he went through, the betrayal of those whom he loved, and then him being deserted for my sin. Then I can better hold up knowing that I am dead and my life is hid in Christ. Colossians 3:1. Turn there, please. We're going to go through about 10 verses here. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This is the command of God for his children, to endure through the hardships and the hard trials, and what to proactively do, what they are supposed to put on as they go through all these things. You cannot just take off all those other things and not put on the things that you need. See the difference? We get caught in a passiveness. When we are under adversity, we begin to be passive and allow Satan just to continue to pound us. But we are not taking our minds and focusing on what is right. We have to put on these things. We have to add things. We have to put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness. That means you have to go out and be spent for someone else and be spent for Christ. When you think your trial is too hard and it is too much, then help someone else. Help someone else. Be spent for God. But it's such a peculiar trial that I'm facing. I know. Doesn't matter, though. The truth is the same. We are to consider Christ. That means looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is a finisher, a perfecter. You look unto Jesus. But Christ gives us another sound antidote against fainting. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1. I want you to read this one with me here. Luke, just the first verse. I'll read the rest of it, but I want you to read this first verse with me. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. How much are you praying? Good question. Child of God, how much are you praying? If you feel yourself faint and weary, how much time are you spending with the Lord in prayer? How much? How much? I don't mean asking God to bless the Fruit Loops, and that's it. Or the SpaghettiOs. You need a lot of prayer for those. That's not meatballs. That's not beef. I'm just telling you. There ain't no way that's meat. I don't know what it is. But it ain't what you and I consider meat. So you better pray. Anyway, sorry. I don't know how I got on that, but I was thinking of SpaghettiOs. But you know what? How much are you praying versus how much you're fainting? Spending more time fainting than praying? Well, there's a reason for that. If you switch the order around, you would be much better. You might still be going through trials, but you'll have strength to get through them. You know, days of adversity, you are taken through them, not out of them. Now, I much would rather have the out of them than through them if I had a vote in it, but seeing how I don't, I'm going through them one way or another. Right? Look, God is not going to take the days of adversity from you. He's not going to take you out of them, but he is going to give you strength to endure them, to go through them, because you need them. Can I ask you a question? Can you accept that? Can you accept from God that you need these days of adversity, of hardships, of trials? Now let me ask you another question. Have you accepted it? Have you? It only gets harder when we don't. We're praying, trying to pray out when we need to pray through. Lord, couldn't you just wave your hand and just make it all go away? He certainly could. But just like with your children, when you always do that, they never learn anything. And Jesus didn't do it for himself. He didn't. He did pray, Lord, take this cup from me if it be possible. You know, I mean, he's human. You know, he was fully man, fully God. Lord, take this cup from me, but if not, I'll drink it. And he drank all of it. And you and I must drink all of it. All of the cup of affliction. The bread of affliction, the bread of adversity, and the cup of affliction, we must drink it. He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The question is your faith. Faith is action. Faith means that I continue to trust the Lord, and I do because of what Christ has done. And I continue to do. And I don't let up because of adversity. But I continue on. I fight. I don't faint. 1 Corinthians, God's mercy holds us up under adversity. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:1. We're almost done. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Right? We faint not. Why? Because we have received mercy. Amen. Galatians 6:9. We'll close with this verse. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. I want all of us to read that together, Galatians 6, 9. If you're not there yet, you lost the sword drill. Should have found it pretty easy. I have mine already written here, so it's fine. Galatians 6, 9. Let's read it together. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. It's a promise of God. Now believe it. Submit to it. And God will strengthen you through all adversity. Amen. Father, Lord, thank you. We pray, Lord, you'd strengthen your children with this timely, needed message, Lord. I know that all of us struggle from some adversities, Lord, some trials, some tribulations, but you are faithful. God, strengthen your children, I pray, in Jesus' holy name. Bless the food to our bodies and the time we have together today, Lord. May it abound with thanksgiving and goodness and mercy and love for one another and glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.